I'd like to, for our reflection this morning, I'd like to read out of the reading today. This is Saturday, March 1st, the reading for Saturday, March 1st, from the book of the prophet Hosea. And as you know, in our parish, I'm trying to kind of reinstill a sense of urgency in all of us for our own conversion, but also for the conversion of others. And I'd just like to listen to this reading. From Hosea chapter 6. Let us know. Let us strive to know the Lord. As certain as the dawn is his coming. And his judgment shines forth like the light of day. He will come to us like the rain, like spring rain that waters the earth. But what have I to do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? For your piety is like the morning cloud, like a dew that passes away early. For this reason I smote them through the prophets. I slew them by the words of my mouth. For it is love that I desire, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. You know, it's interesting, again, the first way this reading begins is it says, let us strive to know the Lord. Strive, and the word strive means strive. I mean, this is not just something to say, oh, if I get around to it, or this is something to put on my list. The word strive means to earnestly seek after, to earnestly pursue. Let's strive, you see, strive. Strive to know the Lord. And notice it couches it in terms of the day of judgment. And the day of judgment, it says here again, it says in the text, let us strive to know the Lord, for as certain as the dawn is his coming. All right, so he will come, and the question is, will we be ready to meet him? You know, we often talk about getting ready to see the Lord, and why is it important to be ready? And remember, maybe one image in the Bible that's most helpful for us to appreciate why we need to be ready is the image of God as fire. In the Bible, God is often presented as a holy fire. Book of Hebrews said, our God is a consuming fire. In the book of Exodus, Moses encounters the Lord in the burning bush. Likewise, later on, as God comes to meet Moses, he meets him on the mountaintop in fire and cloud. Likewise, as God led the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, into the promised land, he went forth before them as what looked like in the daytime a pillar of cloud, but at night was a pillar of fire. Mm-hmm. So the image of God as fire kind of helps us to appreciate how we need to be ready to see God. In the presence of fire, what can survive? Everything is burnt up. Everything is changed. And so one of the reasons I think that God sent the Holy Spirit into us as tongues of fire was to set us on fire so that when we came in touch with God who is fire, we'd already be on fire and purified. And otherwise, fire burns up everything it touches. But only fire can rejoice to see the presence of more fire. You see, and that's why God wants to set us on fire. And the idea, therefore, of getting ready to see God and striving to know Him and the earnestness of so on is God is who He is. He's not going to change. So you and I have to be ready to see Him one day. So again, this vision of this earnest cry that we should strive to know Him, because as certain as the day, the dawn is his coming, is that we've just got to understand that we've got to be ready to see God because he's not going to change. Do you want God to change?
No.
I don't. So the point is that we've got to be changed in order to see him. And that's part of, again, this earnestness that we need to have as far as a community and as far as individuals in that community, all right, and also then to really pray. It is not something, therefore, that you know, getting ready to go see God. You know, I think at funerals and all, we all talk very poetically, and we all wax and about how great they're in a better place and so on. Sometimes I just think we make light of the idea of going into God's presence. It's a pretty awesome thing. The Bible says it's an awesome thing to fall into the hands of a living God. See? And this God is not changing. So that's why I'm a big believer in purgatory, I'll tell you. I know that if I were to die today, I'm not aware of any mortal sin. Thank God. I praise God for that. But I'll tell you, I'm certainly not perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. And just to walk into God's presence, you know, in my present state, I don't see that as something that will be easy to do. Now, the Protestants have this idea that everything will just be covered. They have a kind of a propitiatory salvation. The idea is that God simply covers our sins, but we're in the blood of His Son, Jesus. The way Martin Luther put it was that He were a dunghill. Isn't that a terrible image of a human person? But that's what Martin Luther taught. He said, we're a dunghill, and God sprinkles some snow and covers the dunghill. So it looks beautiful, but it's still a dunghill. But that isn't really very biblical. God wants to completely transform us. We're called to holiness, to be completely transformed. Not a dunghill at all, but the very holiness of God. You must be holy, says the Lord, because I, the Lord your God, am holy. See, and so on. So our Catholic theology emphasizes, again, this complete transformation of the human person that's required for us. So for a Protestant, well, I'm already covered in the blood of Jesus, so I can just walk right into His presence. It's like I somehow put on a Teflon suit or something. But inside, I'm still the same old mess I've always been. And that is not good biblical theology. The vision, you know, and again, I'm not saying every Protestant believes that, but that's the classical Protestant view from Martin Luther and John Calvin and others, that we were completely depraved, utterly depraved, and will always be depraved. There's nothing good in us, only the fact that God covers us. You see, that we're wearing like a coat or a covering, and that's not, I don't think, good biblical theology. I'm not going to tell you that every Protestant walking around today, you know, thinks this. But again, that's getting back to this text. We've got to strive to know the Lord. Something has to be happening in us to get us ready to see God. And why? Because we're going to go see Him. As certain as the dawn is His coming. As certain as the dawn is your death and my death. Going to the Lord. So, again. But then the Lord kind of gets to the heart of the problem. It isn't necessarily that we're all out there stealing huge amounts of money or being completely, you know, like Hitler, you know, committing genocide. It's not necessarily that we're all so wicked. I don't think, you know, there are some people in the world that are that wicked. But most of us, the bigger problem is what we might just call lukewarmness. Remember how the Lord said in the book of Revelation, because you are neither hot nor cold, I vomit you from my mouth. He said to the church of Laodicea. Now, let me read the next line with that in mind. What have I to do with you, Ephraim, which is a part of Israel, okay, the part of the nation of Israel today? What have I to do with you, Judah, southern part, see? Your piety is like a morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. See? In other words, every now and then you get happy and shout. Every now and then you fall to your knees. But then you get on with your day. And your heart is far from me. See? And so, it isn't just a question of not committing genocide that will get us to heaven. Are we clear on that? Hopefully most of us haven't committed genocide in the room here. You'll hear someone say, well, there's probably just a few people in hell like Hitler, but everyone else is basically good and they're all going to heaven. And again, the Lord doesn't even go there in a reading like this. He simply says, I'm worried about you because your piety, your love, in other words, your love is like the morning cloud or the dew that early passes away. What happens to the dew on the grass by 10 a.m.? It's gone. It's gone. See? So the idea here of our kind of on again, off again, our kind of lukewarm, our kind of, vague, you know, wishy-washy kind of faith, where sometimes we're strong, and every now and then we have these moments. The old line from the scripture, spiritual. Some go to church for to sing and shout. Before 6 months, they'd all turn out. Right? So, you know, every now and then, folks get these little conversion experiences, and they're all happy, and they shout, and they say, I'm going to come to church for the rest of my life. And it doesn't happen. You know, 6 months later, where are they? They're out detailing their car on Sunday morning. You know, God will understand I need to detail my car, you know.
God doesn't want me to be unhappy, of course, you see. You know, so he wants my car to be looking beautiful. But anyway, the point simply being is that, again, on again, off again, wishy-washy, lukewarm, that's a big problem in the spiritual life, you see. It isn't just the biggie wow sins, you know. Those are important to be careful of, you know, fornicating, committing adultery, terrible acts of theft or extreme greed or hatred or retaliation and a complete failure to forgive. All of these are things that we should be aware of. But even just the more ordinary stuff that we experience, our lukewarmness, our wishy-washy, that we're not striving, as the text says, we're just sort of faking it. We're just sort of slugging through life, and we're attached to the world, and we sort of give a nod to God, but we're basically attached to the world. You see the idea? So I want to just leave this text with you, but I want you to see that as part of our parish vision, we're trying to kindle this fire, first of all, in ourselves, that there's something urgent. This is not, we're not playing games. This is important stuff. We don't just come to church to, you know, have fellowship. I mean, that's nice. I hope you have fellowship. But we're coming to church. If you go to a hospital, I hope you can have fellowship with the nurses and doctors, but is that the main reason you go to a hospital? You go to a hospital to get well, right? And so this is serious business. You know, we're not about just, you know, light, fluffy stuff. This is important work. This is about where we're going to spend eternity. This is about some of the deep drives of our heart. And one of them we're talking about today is a kind of a sluggishness or a laziness that can settle in on us. And so the Lord says, you know, bottom line is, I want you to learn to strive, the text says, to know the Lord. See, again, not just sort of, well, if I get around to it, strive to know the Lord, because as certain as the dawn is coming. But what have I to do with you, Ephraim? What have I to do with you, Judah? In other words, my people. Charles, what have I to do with you? Wanda, what have I to do with you? And so on. I don't mean to pick on anyone. But what have I to do with you? You know, your piety is like the morning cloud. And Wanda, I'm not even including you in this, all right? Your piety is like the morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. See, just put your name in the sentence, okay? And say, you know, again. And then how about a loved one or two? You know, they may not be out killing people, committing genocide, doing horrible, heinous things, but they're just chilly, cold hearts toward God. Yeah, God, you know, I'll get around to that. And that's what I'm trying to show you in a text like this. That's significant stuff. You know, God, what have I to do with you? What can I do with you, says the Lord. So, it's something urgent, it's something that's like, you know, and again, not to run around in a panic. Oh my gosh, I might be lost, or someone I know might be lost. Don't run around in a panic, but be sober. There is a serious problem. It's called lukewarmness. And it's much more serious than we often think. All right, so that's just a little reflection for you at the beginning of this meeting.